anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us for this Tuesday edition here until the noon hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little basketball. We're going to be talking a little wrestling. And football is, I guess, kind of along the wayside except for the national championship game. And we will touch on the Fiesta Bowl coming up a little later on in the program. We'll get to your emails and a whole lot. Sean Kelly, the Hastings College head wrestling coach, is going to join us here at the start of the broadcast here in our first segment. They have a duel tomorrow, and then they have the Hastings Bronco Open coming up on Saturday. We will talk to the coach as they get ready for this week's activities and how they did through the first month of the year. We'll also be talking with Stu Pospisil, our friend from the Omaha World Herald, the prep sports editor, for the first time since the preseason. High school basketball rankings have been updated, and we'll talk to him about that. And you know what? There may be a little more look now to the West than there was at the beginning of the season, and we'll let Stu fill you in on that. Class A has been topsy-turvy. Some of the number ones have already been beaten, and we'll talk with Stu Pospisil about that in our second segment on the show today. But again, a wee bit of sadness as the big fella daddy remains in the infirmary.
Derek, is he going to be okay? Is he?
Well, it's not the part.
What's the problem?
Well, you know, it's not the part that Daddy, you know, will he be okay? It's just that how long can he be sick? Oh, boy. And Derek, by the way, and we wish Daddy all the best.
Oh, of course.
We pseudo love the daddy.
Get better, big guy.
Can't wait for him to get back. Still evidently recovering from that real tough 08 that he put in. Also a story out there, Derek, and I think Tony would love this. Hawaii, the university thereof, has offered a scholarship, a football scholarship, to an eighth grader.
You got to get to him early. Recruiting's competitive. You got to get him early.
He was this kid, this eighth grader from Hawaii, but now I think lives in Texas, if I got all this right. This eighth grader is the 13-year-old brother of Arizona freshman offensive lineman Solomon Kaler. His brother, this eighth grader, is 6'4", 280 pounds. And I saw a picture of him. He's not fat. 6'4". I mean, they showed him in the jersey with just a ball cap on.
It's unbelievable.
And he looks like a college kid right now.
They need to check this kid's birth certificate, I think.
Good Lord, Danny Almonte's cousin or something. He's too big to play Pop Warner football, so he's never really played organized football.
Unbelievable.
But he goes to this camp, and there's a University Youth All-American Bowl at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio coming up this weekend.
I've heard about, you know, you hear basketball. Obviously, the basketball guys scouting kids when they're in eighth, ninth grade, and maybe, you know, we've heard about that over the last couple of years, but wow, an eighth grader already getting an offer from Hawaii.
I don't know.
Unreal.
Maybe Justin Boyce could keep up with this kid, and he is the heavyweight for Hastings College, and we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show the head wrestling coach at Hastings College, Sean Kelly. Sean, are you recruiting any eighth graders?
I wish. And 6'4", 280, he's going to have a hard time making 285 for me.
I was going to say, he might pick the right sport. Sean, in his second season with the second year of the program at Hastings College, and before we dive into how the kids are doing this year and what you've got coming up this week, I guess, Sean, where do you feel this program is at just 2 years in, actually maybe a year and a half? It looks on the surface like you may be ahead of schedule.
You know, I can tell the guys, there's always peaks and valleys. You catch me on a day where I'm really high, I'm going to tell you we're well ahead of schedule. And then if you catch me on a day where I'm not feeling real confident, I'll tell you we're starting to fall behind to where we should be. And, you know, every day is a challenge. And I think overall we're doing really well. I think our room's really tough right now for a second-year program. And, you know, our numbers, it's always a numbers game, you know, and we're going to be able to fill the lineup again, which will help with our duels. And for schools of our size, it seems like it can be a tough task to fill your lineup some days. And right now I feel comfortable that we're going to be able to fill the lineup all year. And it helps when you're looking at Division I, Division II programs that sometimes give up forfeits in the duels, and we're not. So that's always helpful on the recruiting trail. So I think we're ahead of schedule. You know, we're real young still, so we keep this group together, and in a couple years, I think we'll be looking at doing some really good things.
Well, and also, with just a second-year program, it's not like you had a lot of transfers in from other programs that are juniors and seniors. You don't have that junior cedar type of leadership right now.
No, we don't. We have one senior this year, a kid that transferred from Lumbet Community College, and you know, as far as my first senior here at Hastings, I couldn't ask for a better kid. He's real dedicated and leader on and off the mat, and Andrew Hare, and he's kind of been injury prone this year, but you know, he's back to being healthy now, and we're looking for a good second semester out of him. And then we only have one junior right now, kid that sat out from Kearney, Andrew Sorensen. He went to Kearney Catholic, and he sat out for a couple of years right after high school, and when we started up, he transferred over here, and you know, he'll be a starter for me this year all the way through. So looking for two good things out of them guys. Both of them were national qualifiers last year, so they got the year of experience to help them out this year, I think.
We're talking with Sean Kelly, the head wrestling coach at Hastings College. You've been off of the competitive mat since wrestling at UNK. What do you do as you go through the holidays and all the things that there are to do that and try to stay fresh for the big portion of the year?
Well, you know, after the first semester that I put on these guys, it's good for them to go home and get a break and just get away from wrestling, hopefully maintain their weight while they're gone. And a lot of them go into their high school rooms. They usually get home in time to get a couple days in before the moratorium, and then I get them back on, like, the 29th, and we wrestled last weekend at Dana, so we had about 3 weeks off competition, and really, I don't know, two of those weekends they're actually not doing much for competitive wrestling. We keep them through finals week, even though we don't wrestle anywhere competitive that week, and we kind of back down the training, you know, do some more team building fun stuff, wiffle ball, flag football kind of things, just to keep them fresh, get their mind off wrestling, and usually that will recharge the battery a little bit, and they come back. First week's always a make-weight issue. But, you know, I think guys come back, and they know that our tournament's coming on the second weekend back, so their focus gets directed real fast, I think.
You take a look at the NAIA way of doing things is different for folks that aren't familiar with it, like Division I, Division II, and even at the high school ranks, there's a certain criteria that you qualify here and you get into a bracketed form and you got to do this and do that to get there. Well, you guys already have some guys that have qualified as national qualifiers. Explain to the fans how that works.
Well, you know, the NAIA is probably one of the greatest divisions that's not really known about for the fact that you can take 12 guys at 10 weights. So, you know, with like Brandon Hudeberg being an All-American last year for me, I wasn't worried about bringing in another good guy around his weight because they all know, you know, there's a chance he could have two finalists, national finalists. That'd be a great problem for me to have one day. But basically, the way the NAI qualifies is just through meets. It's similar to track. You know, you run a state qualifying time in track and you qualify for the state tournament. Same thing with wrestling. You get in a bracket with at least eight wrestlers in it, and you basically place in the top quarter of the bracket. So if there's eight guys, you got to be in the top two. If there's 16 guys, you got to be, you know, top four, right around there. There's anything over 23 guys in the bracket, you got to be top eight. So we have had five guys qualify already this weekend, and we just missed our sixth one this last weekend at Dana. So this time last year, I only had two guys qualified. So I think we're well ahead of schedule as far as qualifying goes this year. I think we should be able to take a full 12 at Nationals. Last year we missed it by 3. We only took 9, but overall all the guys were pretty excited with taking 9 the first year.
So far we've got a Kansas kid, couple from Beatrice, Lincoln, and then Ethan Carrs from just down the road, a freshman out of Franklin, are among the 5 that have qualified. And now you get ready for your first duel of the season. Tomorrow night you go up to Dakota Wesleyan. What do you expect them there?
Well, you know, Dakota Wesleyan, it's one of those teams that you don't really want to face early because you just don't know what they're going to be at. They got a coach that's been around 4 or 5 years, so he's got his couple classes through. And they got a real solid 41-pounder, a real solid 49-pounder. They're 25, 33, are both good wrestlers. So the first four weights, if you can stay ahead of them the first four weights, I'll feel real confident. I think... of course, I'm a little biased because I'm kind of the heavyweight coach, but I think our heavyweights could win the duel for us again just like they did last year, even though we're going to be missing Brandon for the duels until second semester. I think we still have probably better talent at the upper weights than anybody else will really face. You know, and we spent a lot of time recruiting some 25, 33-pounders this year, and we're very solid at those weights. The weights that they're really good, I think we'll match up with them. I think it's going to come down to a duel who can score more team points. You know, we might be able to win 6 matches, but if we only beat them by decision on all 6 matches, they'll be close enough that if they could get a fall on a couple of them, it'll be a close duel. But on the same hand, I think, you know, it could go either way. You know, one of the teams gets some momentum and gets on a roll, and it's going to be tough to stop the other team. And whenever this is going to be our first duel of the year, and it's one of our longer trips right away, and that's kind of what makes me most nervous is that we got a 4.5-hour trip, and you know they did it last year, and it's our turn to go up there, and I hope our guys respond when they get off the bus and have the focus. You know, it'll be a duel right until the 10th match. I think we're going to start 8 freshmen or sophomores, so they got some juniors and seniors up there, so I think they got the experience on us a little bit, but I think our talent will match up with their talent. They're a good program, though. They're going to fill all 10 weights, and we're going to just have to go up there and compete. I don't know right off the top of my head how many freshmen we're starting, but I'm going to say it's probably going to be about half the lineup. We'll start a freshman at 25, 33, 49, 57 for sure, so we're going to have to wrestle our best up there to beat them.
Sean Kelly, head wrestling coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And then when you get back, you'll be wrestling on your home mats all day on Saturday with the Bronco Open. And as usual, you'll have a whole lot of folks rolling in for this tournament, maybe not even know who all they are yet, but some Division I, some Division II. You've got all kinds of types of kids coming in Saturday. Fill the fans in on what they should expect.
Well, I think we'll be about 150, 175 wrestlers. Last year we were about 120. Fort Hays is going to come up this year with their entire squad. Colorado School of Mines will come with their entire squad. Two decent Division II programs is going to bring their guys, and then UNO is going to send about 12 of their backups and redshirts. And they got a heavyweight out of Oak Park, Missouri right now that probably could go Division I and be an All-American. He's that talented. He's all at 280, and he's the most athletic 280-pounder you've ever seen in your life. He'd sit there and do cartwheels and handsprings, and it's amazing to watch the big guy move like that. But, you know, UNO, they're ranked number one in the nation right now, and they got a lot of depth. And they're going to bring 12 pretty good guys over. Carney will send, you know, a dozen probably over their backups and redshirts. And, you know, we've seen both of those programs all year long, they're tough to beat. Even their backups are, you know, to be that caliber year in, year out for both of those programs, they got some good backups. And I think Lincoln will probably send a couple guys. And then you look at the NAI programs that will be here. It'll be York, Dakota Wesleyan, Sioux Falls, us, Pratt Community College, Iowa Lakes Community College, both good community college programs will bring their lineups. So it'll be 8-9 full rosters. Right there, you're looking at probably 120 wrestlers, and you throw in the 10 or 12 from Lincoln, Omaha. You know, Dana will send guys. So the backups that we're going to be seeing are going to be coming from good programs, and the wrestling will start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and We're hoping to be done by about 5. That way the basketball can get set up for their game on Sunday. And we'll run 5 mats straight through, no breaks, good 7-minute matches. And it'll be a tough tournament. It won't be a lot of big guns from those bigger programs, but their backups are just as good as what we will be able to put on the mat. So it'll be a good day. Starting to think about seating already, and heard from one of the hotels that one of the rooms booked 19 rooms, so they're bringing quite a few guys down.
Well, it should be a great weekend. Nice to wrestle at home, and the fans will be able to see that Saturday, and then a few more duels as all things move along. The national qualifier at your place on the 21st. So, Sean, I know we'll be catching up with you again later this season. Best of luck tomorrow and Saturday, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Sean Kelly, head wrestling coach, Hastings College, in his second year. Tomorrow, Mark Bauer is going to join us here live in studio to start the program, because the Cliff Keen National Duels, you've got the national tournament, and then you've got the national duels, and the Lopers have had success at both, and we will talk with him about that and what it was like down at the Lone Star Duels this past weekend, wrestling Oklahoma, coming out 3-1, and we'll talk with Coach Bauer about that. And again, don't forget Hastings College wrestling coming up this weekend at home. That is on Saturday. More coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show, including Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald. But you take a look at this program, and as we say, it's just the second year at Hastings College, and it seems to really be headed in the right direction. And yesterday, Chris Basnett filled in with Daddy being gone, and we talked about a variety of things. And one of those was the top 10 stories from the past year that was the Kearney Hub selection and what they had, and made a comment about UNK's women's soccer. So, and I said, you know, they have it ranked 4th, the addition of UNK's women's soccer, the 4th biggest story in the Kearney Hub area this year. And I said, you know, no, it's not. I said, everything else I pretty much agree with, and that's what makes for great debate. That's why we do these things and make these lists and such. And Don in Kearney fires into me with this email about women's soccer at UNK. He says, Doug, Monday your rant questioned the initiation of a women's soccer team at UNK. I agree, on the surface it looks like an illogical move due to the economic times and budget cutbacks mandated for UNK, but a deeper look can show several reasons why the team should be started. First, it's Title IX. This is below the radar for most people, but it's still present in athletics, and you're definitely right. And, Don, I think that's the reason that women's soccer is being added. Oh, he goes on to say women's soccer will go a long way in bringing UNK more into compliance with the regulations. UNK, or Kearney State at the time, already had an investigation for Title IX non-compliance back in the 1970s based on a complaint filed. Once is enough. Secondly, high school girls have been asking for a team for several years. Indications are that quite a few would consider UNK that now do not because of a lack of a soccer program. This is a positive for UNK in a time when competition for students is high and funding is partially based on enrollment. If a good walk-on program similar to UNL football could be implemented in addition to some scholarship aid, then generated income for UNK could increase. This is a positive. So look a little deeper into the situation. You'll see UNK may be making a wise decision. Don, thanks so much for the email. Most of your points, very valid, and I can never see UNK women's soccer generating a dime for the program, for the school, as far as funding itself. And again, I the point I was trying to make is, and I don't want to, you're going to step on a toe every once in a while, and it's tougher the more localized your program is. Women's soccer at UNK, I don't care. And I just think that's unfortunately going to be, I want to see the attendance at something like this. I want to see how much interest there is. I mean, you're going to be talking, do you know UNK has a swimming and diving team, a swimming program? Do you know that? Does anyone know that? I mean, there are the lesser sports out there, and I'm not putting them down, because when UNK women's soccer gets a team going, I hope they win conference, make nationals, do all the good things that there are out there. I'm just saying, point to the Tri-City Storm, people. How much interest is there anymore? And that was a huge deal. And how much interest will there actually be in UNK women's soccer? I firmly believe that if it wasn't a Title IX issue, this would not be part of UNK's athleticism. When this all came down last year, that was kind of the question most of the media asked of Athletic Director John McBride. And, you know, he never really said no to that. He did, as Don does here in the email, point out all the positives that it will bring to the institution. And again, that's, you wouldn't add something if you don't think it's going to be positive. But I think a lot of the reason is they need some Title IX issues. Now, as Chris Basnett said yesterday on the program, if this came to be a part of the university and for some reason it affected the performance of other already established sports, then I would have a problem with it. But that hopefully will never come to pass. And as I said, when they get things going this fall and we have the new soccer coach on the program, heck, we may even have him on by the end of the month if he'll give us some time. We're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to starting a new program. It's exciting. Anytime you start something new, it's exciting, and that's what we're looking at. It's just that on the flip side, does it really matter? And that was kind of the point I thought I was trying to make yesterday. We'll take a break. Come back on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can always fire off your emails to us here, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald is next.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Hormain Bank at Cozad is celebrating 125 years of excellent service to the ag and business community. Our branch is celebrating too. I'm Dave Higbee, First Bank and Trust, Clay Center. Hardly can believe it, but this is our silver anniversary. 25 years of service in Clay County and the surrounding area. You're invited to celebrate with us too. In fact, everybody, current and potential customers, are invited to stop at the bank and register for a 1-pound brick of silver to be given away. You'll be surprised at the value. We're First Bank and Trust, Clay Center, member FDIC.
The staff and management at ABC Drug and Gift would like to thank everyone for their business in 2008 and look forward to serving everyone again in 2009. Stop into ABC Drug and see what wonderful gifts you can buy with the cash and gift card you got for Christmas. It could be so much fun shopping for you at ABC Drug and Gift. You'll always find something unique at ABC Drug and Gift, your Health Mart store, Kauffman Center, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drug Store.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bedliners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bedliner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
End joint pain naturally with Joint Stress RX. Many people don't know that there are safe and natural ways to decrease pain and increase your mobility. At the Hastings and Kearney GNCs, our staff specializes in providing you the information needed to attain the perfect supplement for you and your needs. Joint Stress RX is one of our best joint formulas, but we have many options to treat what ails you. So run, don't walk, and let our knowledgeable staff find you an all-natural solution from your head down to your toes. Now at the Hastings and Kearney GNCs.
BCS National Championship on ESPN Radio.
Throws in zone. Touchdown!
The number one ranked Oklahoma Sooners face the number two ranked Florida Gators.
Anywhere you're going, don't miss the BCS National Championship. Thursday, January 8th, 6:15, right here on ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
The likelihood of the bottom falling out of the home heating fuel market is small. The likelihood of you taking control of what you spend this winter is great when you invest in alternative sources of heat, like the Amazablaze corn stoves available at Motorsports Sales and Service in Grand Island. Warm up to 1,500 square feet for up to 48 hours for at least a third less than conventional fuel, and that's based on last year's prices. So unless you want to trust the oil market, it makes sense to see the corn stoves by Amazablaze now at Motorsports Sales and Service, just west of 281 off Highway 30, Grand Island.
As we head through Tuesday, we will have partly sunny skies. Winds today will be out of the northwest at 5 to 15 miles an hour, with highs this afternoon reaching the low 40s. Tonight, skies will be partly to mostly cloudy. Low temperatures will be down near 20. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm Jacob Hamblin. Right now, it's 37 degrees.
Doug and Daddy's show, it's Tuesday. That means Troutman's Tuesday Trivia comes your way on the second half of the program. Coming up in just a second, we will be chatting with Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald. National championship coming up tomorrow. Last night, Texas, I don't think, made a statement against Ohio State. Maybe they're really, really good, but Derek, I guess one of the weird things is as you were just reemphasizing to me during the break, the Big Ten went 0-6 in bowl games. That's really going to help them.
Oh, yeah, good football conference there.
So they trouble. So that's no, they won a game. Iowa won. Where'd you come up with 0-6?
Oh, you're right.
So Iowa won.
Iowa won. So one win.
So one win.
1-5.
But not a good conference season or a bowl season for them. And the Big 12 South finally gets a win. Fire off your emails about that Texas game. I think that puts Utah another notch up when they get closer to the top three here in the national championship game or the final BCS poll that comes out on Friday morning. And one other question before we get to Stu here. How long did it take for the national volleyball poll to come out after the tournament? Oh, yeah, a week and a half or 9 days, whatever. It was. They finished it up on a Saturday. A week from the next Tuesday afternoon, the final poll came out. Oh, no, okay, it was just the next Tuesday afternoon. But anyway, that was 4 days. It was a lot longer than it needed to be. Why does the national football poll need to be out in the morning, wee morning hours after the national championship game? Also guaranteeing that Utah has no chance to move up because debate would at least get these guys thinking about who they want to vote for, and at least that would give you a good day of debate on the national TV, radio, newspaper scene to say, you know what, that game last night wasn't all that much. I think that if somebody said, you know what, I'm going to step up and vote Utah, somebody else may say, well, you know what, if Utah actually has a chance to be voted number one, then maybe I'll vote for Utah too, and I'll vote for Utah. I don't think it would happen, but at least I think Utah, instead of getting 4 first-place votes, might get 20 first-place votes and finish number 2 in the poll. Now, is Utah the best team in the country? You have a hard time convincing a lot of folks of that, and if you see a game Thursday night like you saw last night, then you're going to change a lot of people's opinions. Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World-Herald, prep sports editor, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stu, I know you follow it. You're a sports guy. What do you think? Does Utah have any claim to being number one Friday morning?
I think they ought to be in the discussion. I think that they haven't played nearly the schedule that any of the Big 12 teams has. I mean, that'd be the knock I'd have on Florida is that, look at they, you know, okay, they lost to Mississippi, which did beat Texas Tech. I mean, that does look a little better in the scheme of things, but when you stop and think that the Big 12 teams basically knocked each other off, and, you know, I think that Oklahoma's going to win tomorrow night. Or I guess it's Thursday night, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe they could push that back to
February.
The
full season lasts longer than the Christmas shopping season anymore.
I hear you.
That's another debate for another day about the bowl system. I had it at breakfast already today. But, no, I consider Utah, but I think they're their best hope is to be third when it's all said and done behind perhaps tomorrow or Thursday night's winner and possibly Texas. Although, you know, if it's a tight game like last night's, it may be winner, loser, Texas, Utah.
I think it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be a push for USC, too. So we'll see how that all breaks down. And, of course, you have those decisions when it comes to week-to-week polls, football and basketball. And sometimes the runner-up is not always the second-best team in that respective sport when it comes to state tournaments.
Sometimes the state champion's not the best team.
I wasn't even going to bring that up, but that does segue into an interesting point when it comes to the basketball rankings, which are done differently. You guys have the preseason, then you let that December go, let things kind of pan out because there's many more games to look at and surface and see how everything settles down. But the last time that the Class A state champion was not crowned the number one team in the Omaha World Herald was 2001. Is that right?
Correct.
The 2001 season. And
A Lincoln Southeast, which lost in the first round but had a dominating season, was first. Class B champion Alliance was second. And the tournament winner, Lincoln East, which must be pointed out, they only played 3 opponents a total of 7 times between the end of the regular season and the state tourney. So it was a goofy year. It was a topsy-turvy season, and I don't know if we'll ever see a finish like that again, although we could have a non-Class A team be champion this year.
We've got Ralston as the number one team now, and they, of course, are a Class B school, but have been teetering on the borderline there. And I think almost any time that outside of Omaha you see a metro school, it doesn't. People get the idea that it doesn't matter if they're A or B, they're still a metro school, and all the talent's about the same.
I think that's true. It's probably less eye-opening than, say, Hastings a dozen years ago, which was a very good team, and actually got knocked off in the first round at state by a good Shadron team. And, you know, speaking of Shadron, they may very well go into the top 10 next week based on what we found out, albeit a little late, about their success last week in Gillette, Wyoming.
Now tell the folks about that, because obviously right here in our backyard, Kearney Catholic took Shadron down to the wire, a one-point district final last year, and you know, Kearney Catholic is a 500 ball club, and now you're talking about a Shadron team that doesn't have some gung-ho freshman that came in. You got basically the same group of kids that might be an all-class top 10 school, but what they did over the holiday break here was something special.
Well, they've in-state, they've beaten their four Class B opponents by an average of 21, almost 22 points, and that includes a win over Scott's Bluff, which ended up being the Greater Nebraska champion last week. But out in Wyoming, they knocked off Bishop Gorman High School of Las Vegas, which has enough talent. They're a large school. They're like the Creighton Prep of Las Vegas. They won the National Legion World Series title last summer in baseball. Got a couple Division I prospects in football playing basketball. And Shadron went out and waxed them by about 13 points. And then in the final, going against what was described as an enthusiastic sold-out home crowd at Gillette, they beat the host Camels. What a great name for a nickname for a high school, the Gillette Camels. Campbell County Camels, I guess is what it is. Beat them 77-72. So that's their closest game to date. But when you've got a 6'11 major college prospect and then the athletes that got them to the state semis in football, and given how mediocre, I guess that's about the nicest way I can describe Class A this year, you've got some chances for teams like Shadron to make a statement and crack the top 10.
Is basketball, we think basketball is down in central Nebraska. Is basketball talent and overall down across the state this year?
Amen, brother. I think part of it is that the talent's down, and part of it is we've got so many, and I love the coaches in the state. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes I think they're guilty of overcoaching, and sometimes I think that they're not coaching offense nearly enough. They're trying to win with defense, and you know, you've got to play transition, and you got to play full court, but I see a lot of teams just very patient passing the ball around the perimeter, and part of that is, you know, we don't have a lot of surplus of great height either. But, you know, I looked at the games a week ago today in the holiday tournament, guys. There were 110 games. Only five teams that lost broke 60, and the high was 65. So these teams either aren't scoring or can't score.
Well, you know, it's hard when you're practicing with your Wii to, you know, get out there and actually put the ball up in the air, and I think that is what is starting to filter down. But I look at your new rankings from yesterday, today, A all the way through D. We still see a lot of familiar names out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the basketball hotbeds certainly are there, but, you know, you do have some newer names. You know, Burwell staying atop the Class D1 rankings with only a two-point loss to Ravenna. You know, this might be the Longhorns' breakout season. We know they've got some athletes from football. Giltner has been ranked in D1 for or D2 for quite a while, and obviously with Nate Most and the receiver's name escape Spots, Kyle Spots. They've got good athletic talent there. Ravenna staying there second in C2 behind Fremont Bergen team that won D1 last year, lost Wes Eichmeyer and a bunch of seniors, and is playing very good ball. I think their winning streak is up to 35. So the best the most exciting player in the state might be Austin, and I always mispronounce the name, Katzer,
yeah,
up at Ewing,
yep,
who's averaging about 33, 34 points a game. So at least there's a couple spots in the state where people can score.
Yeah, Katzer, of course, a lot of people remember as they were in the state championship in football and played so outstanding in that one. And we do have some nice teams around this area. What was the highlight of the first month for you, Stu?
Oh, boy. Probably Shadron's win over Gorman, because that's the most significant win I've seen. Class A, Creighton Prep isn't close to being fully healthy yet, and they may have lost their center, who's a UNO recruit, John Carhoff, for at least another portion of the season because of a recurring knee injury, and they don't have their point guard back. And yet they were able to make the semifinals of the holiday tournament. Bryan High, which won the tourney, has had some rough spots. You know, they play better in the tournament, but I wouldn't say that they're, definitively the team to beat in Class A. I don't know if there is such a team.
Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we get into the second portion of the season. Omaha Bryan in A, Ralston in B, Shadron in C1, Fremont Bergen in C2, Burwell D1, Ewing D2, his number one teams right now, and a lot of interest in C1. I saw the Minden Central Catholic game last night. I've seen Ravenna play Loup City in C2 on the boys' side. I've seen a few of the other teams that you have rated, like Axtell, who gave Minden all they wanted in the holiday tournament. But C1 looks like it could be, again, very interesting, and I guess Central Catholic has really impressed me, but when they're ranked fifth in Class C1, and I can't see you really moving them up at all, where's the dividing line there in C1?
Well, I think it might be outside the top ten still. I still think Minden's a pretty solid ball club. I don't have room for St. Paul yet in there. I don't have room for Boys Town, and they may have one of the top ten players in the state, and Isaiah Gandy, they're trying to shake their football legs too, and Boys Town's a little unique in that they let their kids go back home, if possible, for the holiday season. So they don't even get in a holiday tournament. They have to kind of basically start over once they reassemble for the next semester. So, I think there's 12, maybe 15 teams potentially in C1 that can get to the state tournament.
Got some nice matchups, Central Catholic, Lincoln Christian coming up. What's hot this week, Stu? What are you looking for? Where are you going?
I think that Bainton has a game tonight with Omaha Gross, and then Saturday against Newman, which has a Friday night game with Boys Town. And depending on how matchups go, I could very well be over at the St. Cecilia-Lincoln Christian game. Christian's probably been one of the more surprised teams in C1. They knocked off Syracuse and then got beat by Newman in the Newman Holiday Tournament. But there's quite an interesting pecking order in that Battle Creek beat Norfolk Catholic, which beat Newman, which beat Christian, which beat Syracuse.
That makes it easy for you, man.
It's very easy, but I know with Brent Wells and St. Paul that's the Wildcats are a good team waiting to break in, and I love C1 this year. I think it's the deepest, the best of the classes, and I wouldn't be surprised if I see more C1 games than possibly Class A this in the regular season.
Oh, careful, easy.
There's not a whole lot to watch. You get below Prep in Class A, and you're kind of scratching your head and going, okay, who do I rank 7th and 8th and what have you? Because Bellevue West is not the team that it has been, and we know that Kearney's having its issues, and the whole GNAC to have the Class A teams fall behind Scott's Bluff is not a real strong indicator of what might be in store for the North Forks and North Platte.
Well, you sure you don't want to move Fall City Sacred Heart in?
No, not yet. But you just see they are in D2.
I know, 2-4, ranked 6th.
2-3.
Yeah, they played Saturday. You missed one, buddy.
I missed one?
Yeah, you missed one. I know, because I saw it. I was there. I saw him play Elmwood Murdoch. It was they're going to be fine. That's one of those instances. They keep playing up all the time. So good basketball team, they'll be fine. And you know, that's the interesting point now. You start to see teams get into conference play and maybe kind of get their feet settled under them. So Stu, as always, we appreciate the time, and hey, we'll catch up with you real soon.
Hey, thanks for that Sacred Heart score. See you guys.
I do what I can for you, man.
Okay.
Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor from the Omaha World Herald, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We need to take a break, and when we do, we're going to come back and take a look at our Troutman's Tuesday trivia question for you, see if we can get you a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. Let's, before we run into that break, I guess, give you the teams from the area that are ranked in the boys' side, and we start in C1, St. Cecilia 4th, Grand Island Central Catholic 5th, C2, Ravenna is 2nd, Axtell 5th, Loup City is 7th. In D1, as we told you, Burwell is up top, Arapahoe is 2nd, Giltner is 3rd, Bruning Davenport is 6th, and Lawrence Nelson, unbeaten, they're 10th. And in D2, you have Hampton ranked 3rd, and Litchfield's in at 8th. Followed by Sargent and SEM at 9 and 10. We'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation with the Doug and Daddy Show, where their motto is,
if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
All criminals carry a gun or a knife. Some simply need to pick up the phone or ring a doorbell. In times like these, senior citizens are often the targets of con artists, hawking shady investment deals and phony charities. Be wary of strangers in your neighborhood soliciting services or asking for money. Many cons come in the way of phony home repair services. These thieves offer major home repairs at bargain prices, but they end up taking your money and never finishing the work. Don't become a victim. Be skeptical of offers that are too good to be true. Never allow anyone to force you to sign something, and never give personal information to people you don't know. Get estimates and never pay in advance. If you suspect fraud, get the contractor's license plate number and call the police immediately. If something doesn't seem right, it's probably not. Protect yourself. Visit ncpc.org to learn more. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Pillars of the past and future of the Kansas City Royals. Frank White, Alex Gordon, Caravan to Skeeter Barnes, Tuesday, January 13th. Join Doug and Daddy at Skeeter's for an autograph party, meet and greet, and live broadcast from 5 to 7. Bring the family out for Skeeter Barnes specials for the kids and great food for everyone. The Winter Royals Caravan at Skeeter Barnes, the only stop in the Tri-Cities this year. Brought to you by ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 at Skeeter Barnes in Kearney, January 13th.
ESPN Radio.
Mike and Mike in the Morning.
Criticizing the fans for not knowing when to cheer. You know what? They know when to cheer when you do something worthy of cheering. If that isn't the ultimate in just shut up.
Mike and Mike in the Morning
on ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
As we head through Tuesday, we will have partly sunny skies. Winds today will be out of the northwest at 5 to 15 miles an hour, with highs this afternoon reaching the low 40s. Tonight, skies will be partly to mostly cloudy. Low temperatures will be down near 20. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm Jacob Hamblin. Right now, it's 37 degrees.
Doug and Daddy's Show. Tomorrow, UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer is among our guests. Talk about their season so far. Well, tonight, the next-to-last bowl game of the year, Ball State taking on Tulsa. Ball State taking on Tulsa in the GMAC Bowl. Guess just another reason to watch something. There is no reason the national championship game is not tonight. This is just idiotic. There is absolutely no reason that the Florida-Oklahoma game is not being played tonight.
I don't understand how they moved that game to tonight. That should be a before New Year's
bowl game. But if they're going to take, if the BCS is going to have this break, ESPN says, well, yeah, we want to have as many bowl games on as many nights as possible, and
brutal.
You know, good for Ball State and Tulsa if anybody's paying attention. I think a lot of people are into basketball mode already. I think even the ESPN crew. I mean, you sat there and you watch Fowler, Herbstreit, and Corso. They've moved on. Mm-hmm. Chris Fowler's thinking about how he's getting to Australia for the Australian Open here at the end of the month for tennis, because he covers that every year. I mean, I really, you watch it, and they're just going, okay, we got to do another segment here about Florida, Oklahoma, which we've talked about for a month and a half. What else is there to say? It just...
The only good thing about this game tonight will be offense. There will be a lot of it. A lot of touchdowns scored, and that should be halfway entertaining there. So,
coming up, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. The Nebraska men's basketball team rolled Florida A&M last night, 81-56. Some other sports notes. UNK women's basketball player Johnny Mildenberger, the RMAC East Division Player of the Week. The NAIA Division II basketball rankings are out for the first time since the beginning of the season. And the number one team in the country continues to be Morningside. And they are followed by Shawnee State of Ohio. But for Hastings College, they fall from number 4 to number 9. And they will take on 12th-ranked Concordia tomorrow night. Northwestern of Iowa has been on quite a roll. And they go from 24 all the way up to 7 after their run through some of the GPAC opponents. And Mount Marty comes in at number 25. For the men, the highest-ranked GPAC team is Dort. At number 12, Briarcliff is 16th in the rankings of the men's team. Morningside is 20th. High school hoops last night. We mentioned that battle of the unbeaten. Central Catholic beating Minden on the boys' side. Kearney Catholic beat Sutton. St. Paul stayed unbeaten with a win over Broken Bow. Kennesaw beat Harvard on the girls' side. Broken Bow beat St. Paul. Eustace Farnham beat Medicine Valley. Central Catholic came back to beat Minden by 1. Kearney Catholic came back to beat Sutton in a state-rated battle, 56-46. Cambridge beat Southern Valley. Kennesaw was a winner over Harvard. More high school hoops coming up tonight, including on our sister station, The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Lawrence Nelson will be at Giltner. And that gets underway 6:15 and 8 o'clock. Also, high school wrestling rankings are out. And, of course, in high school, one week they give you B and C. The next week they give you A and D. And this week, Grand Island reigns number one in Class A. Kearney is fifth. Individually, Kearney's Nick Rimpley, number one at 152. Grand Island has three wrestlers ranked number one, Alex Chantepatit, also Riley Allen, and Nate Westerby. Chantepatit. Alec Chantepatit. I know I butcher that every time. Chantepatit. Class D, Howells is number one, Palmer second, Amherst third, Elm Creek sixth, Franklin is 10th, and still trying to get going off injury. Foster Meyer of Elm Creek is ranked number one at 160, trying to come off some injuries. And the Nebraska Women's Amateur Golfer of the Year is Megan Bartlett of Grand Island. She is a senior at Wichita State. It is time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. 1-888-455-ESPN. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible to call now. 1-888-455-ESPN. We've got a few trivia questions here for you. And if you are the first person to give us a correct answer, then you will be the winner of the $25 gift card to Troutman's, with everything from prime rib to bone-in hams to snack sticks, string cheese, bacon, fresh sausages, whatever you want. It is at Troutman's Quality Meat. So we go to the phone lines at 1-888-455-ESPN, and who starts us off today?
Brett.
All right, Brett, here we go. Here's your question. The national championship game, Florida and Oklahoma, being played Thursday night. What former Big 12 coach is an assistant coach in this game?
Ted.
Once again, Brett coming through. Thanks for the call, buddy. Let's go back to the phone lines. On the Doug and Daddy Show, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, who are we chatting with?
This is Andy.
Andy, great to have you on the program today. Which former Big 12 coach is an assistant in the national championship game?
I'm going to say no clue.
All right, keep trying, buddy. Keep trying. 1-888-455-ESPN. I'm going to change it up to another trivia question. Let's see who we've got with us now. Who are we chatting with? Hello? Nobody there. Nobody there. Nobody there. Let's go back to the phone lines, back to the Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who's up next?
Aaron.
All right, Aaron, let's go with this. Last night, the Nebraska men's basketball team finished up non-conference play by playing Florida A&M. What is the nickname of Florida A&M University?
They are the Ramrodders.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks. Go play in the yard now. 1-888-455-ESPN. Who's up next on the Doug and Daddy Show?
Greg.
Greg, what is the nickname of Florida A&M University?
The Rattlers.
Greg is our winner. The Rattlers is the answer. He's got a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. Greg, hold on the line. Derek will get your information. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
And Nebraska thumped him last night, 81-56, shot 56% from the field. And the answer to the former assistant coach, well, Iowa State's Dan McCarney is an assistant coach, coaches the defensive line at the University of Florida, who said in the press conferences for the media yesterday that he would love to be a head coach again. But he says, right now, I've got the best job for an assistant coach in the country. I work for a great coach in a great program at a school with great facilities. So Dan McCarney, former Iowa State coach, is now at Florida. We will take a final break. Be back and wrap things up right after this.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
Progressive.com, an auto insurance utopia? Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
Okay, fellas, let's hook up those chains.
Excuse me, sir.
Ah.
What are you doing?
Oh, I heard I could bring home Buffalo Wild Wings, so I'm here to pick it up.
Ah, I think you misunderstood. With our takeout, you can bring home Buffalo Wild Wings food.
Oh, I'll be taking the food, along with the chairs, tables, and any random employee that may be inside. You coming?
No. It's takeout, you see. You call in your order, come in, pick it up, and take it home. You know, the food.
You must get this all the time.
Not really, no.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Take the flavor home.
Make the smart choice and enroll now for spring classes at Central Community College. Start a new career in just 2 years through one of our technical programs, or complete the first 2 years of a bachelor's degree through our academic transfer program. Spring classes start January 12th at our Columbus, Grand Island, and Hastings campuses. Call 1-877-222-0780 to learn more. Central Community College. Smart choices, smart people.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
As we head through Tuesday, we will have partly sunny skies. Winds today will be out of the northwest at 5 to 15 miles an hour, with highs this afternoon reaching the low 40s. Tonight, skies will be partly to mostly cloudy. Low temperatures will be down near 20. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm Jacob Hamblin. Right now it's 37 degrees.
The Stephen A. Smith Show on ESPN Radio.
It gives you that feel, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
I like it.
It's a nice cube.
We don't get enough cube on the show. Daddy's going to be disappointed he missed this. It's good. It's good. 2009. I'm up. I'm with it. It's okay. Yeah, I like it. I like the cube. Oh, my. Hey, we want to thank all the fine folks for getting a hold of us on the program today. And we got email rolling in. We got calls rolling in, and hopefully more of them tomorrow, when we will be joined by UNK head wrestling coach Mark Bauer to talk about their season. And we've got some special guests coming up later on in the week. We talked boys basketball today. Don't forget, ladies, we'll take care of you. Efforting Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal-Star to talk about that later in the week. Also hoping to chat with Todd Peterson of the Huskers about how their season wound down as well. And we want to thank Sean Kelly, head wrestling coach at Hastings College, and Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World-Herald for joining us here today on the program. We will take a break and be back in 23 hours on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you can check it out on our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft, Be sure to stop by and see them tonight because it's Tuesday. You know what they have on Tuesday? Big ass beers.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.